You know, Connor, the book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. I find this fascinating. Let's say someone has a preconceived notion about Aaron Rodgers and they read your book. What are they going to come away thinking about him? Because he's had, in my opinion, one of the more fascinating heel turns. He was like kind of like all-American. Everybody rooted for Aaron Rodgers. And then all of a sudden, the COVID vaccine started to rub people the wrong way. And then he would go on McAfee and people started to, and then all, and it's like he's, but he's also, like I said, fascinating with Jeopardy and stuff, like, but he's had this weird heel turn. When you finish the book, what are you going to think about Aaron Rodgers?
Most people have told me that they like him a little bit more than when they started reading it. And I think it's clear that those four words, yeah, I've been immunized, when he was asked in August of 21 if he was vaccinated, changed his entire life. And that's the heel turn right there. And media commentators who used to really praise him for being on the right side of social issues, like Colin Kaepernick, he supported. He actually is one of the few white stars in sports to say out loud for the record that he felt NFL owners were keeping Kaepernick out of the league because of his protest. Aaron rebuked a fan for shouting out an anti-Muslim slur during the national anthem. President Obama wrote him a letter thanking him for doing that. So he was considered one of the good guys in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, COVID hits. He said what he said. 3 months later, the truth comes out that he wasn't vaccinated. And that really changed everything. And he decided to dig in against the media onslaught. And I think you add in the conspiracy theories, you add in the Jimmy Kimmel thing, and all of a sudden you have layers of Aaron being sort of this villainous figure in the NFL. I think this book brings out the good guy again, some of the goodness behind the scenes, the acts of kindness and generosity that his friends told me about. And his marketing agent with CAA, Ed Berry, who's Saquon Barkley's agent, told me that he wants to publicize some of the good things he does behind the scenes to counter the negativity, and Aaron won't let him. He said he's a frustrating client to have in that regard. So some of those stories I bring out in this book, because I really think what I try to do is paint a balanced picture of the quarterback and the human being.
So when you say, you know, the publicists want to publicize some of the good stuff and he won't let them, is it because he's leaning into this role of heel? Because some people find that they enjoy that. They've never experienced it before. And then all of a sudden they lean into it and they enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think he doesn't think it's all that important to publicize those things. And you know, once in a while, and generally speaking, Aaron does not respond to much. I mean, he's been ripped left and right for 3 years, and a few things like the CNN report on Sandy Hook, that conspiracy, he had to respond to that. So if he has to, he will. But a lot of times I find he lets things go. And so whether that's leaning into being a villain and deciding not to contest things. And then on the other hand, he at times he fights back. I will say this. He is a fearless public speaker when he does speak in the public arena. And most of us are not. I'm not. And I do think sometimes he's defended or tried to indefensible positions. And other times, yeah, there are, like, for instance, I think this just got out by happenstance, but there was a dying boy who went to Jets camp last summer. And the father told me the boy's name was Braylon Hodgson. He was named after Braylon Edwards. And he had a rare form of cancer of the brainstem, and he was dying. And the father told me that when he brought his son to Jets camp, he assumed, after reading about Aaron Rodgers for the last 3 years, that he was a jerk and he might not even say hello. Well, Aaron spent more time with that kid than anyone at Jets camp, showed him true compassion. And the boy died on the morning of September 12th, the morning after Aaron got hurt on September 11th, and he was holding Aaron's jersey when he passed away. So there are just a lot of stories like that that Randall Cobb told me he flew across the country to attend his son's 3-year-old birthday party. Like, how many people would do that? A lot of acts of kindness and charitable acts that are not publicized, and Aaron just doesn't really feel that's necessary to do that. And so you have a real complicated figure that I think that this book helps figure out a little bit, that the good guy who was there and was being praised a few years ago is still there underneath the criticism. It's just been lost a little bit the last 3 or 4 years.
And Ian, as I just hear you talk, like, as you did the research and you talked to his teammates and you talked, you know, talk to, you know, people that really know Aaron and know the situation, was it an evolution? Because it sounds like he's just a kid, like we're saying, when Hawk was saying earlier, where you looked at him as this, you know, young guy that just really can spin that thing. Like, he can throw the ball. And then you see him turn into the villain, and he kind of embraces it, but he really doesn't, because he spends time with, you know, with fans that, you know, have, you know, problems or whatever it is. Like, is he rebellious? Did the money change him? Does he love the fame? Because I look at Aaron different. I'll be honest. I look at Aaron different than I did when I played against him.
Hey, I'm just curious, Channing. How did you look at him when you played against him? Because when I interviewed players around the league who played with him in Green Bay and then, of course, with the Jets, I found like almost universal respect and almost admiration. And yeah, a couple guys like Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley said some critical things about him. But I ran into a longtime NFL official who told me that he hated Aaron Rodgers, this guy in particular. He said, but I have to admit, I've never met an NFL player who doesn't like him. I'm curious what your take was as an opponent, what you thought of him.
Respected his ability, didn't love it. We actually beat him in 08 when we went to the playoffs and beat the Jets with Brett Favre and all to win the AFC East, where they had a chance since 02. But yep. playing him, like, you respected him, and he – I don't want to – like, Phillip Rivers was over the top a little bit with, like, the antics he did in the backfield. But if you rushed Aaron Rodgers and you almost got to him, he threw it, like, he turned and be like, yeah, you thought you had me, didn't you? So from the outside – and I'm not friends with him, but from the outside, like, I respected him. I kind of liked him, and I never thought that the turn would have happened like it did 3 years ago. And when it did, like, I was thinking, that's why I asked the question, like, was it the stupid fame that got to him? Was it the money that got to him? Like, it seemed like it was a change, but the media might have caused that change over the man causing that change, and now we're just looking at him through that microscope.
Well, I'll say this. His former agent, Mike Sullivan, told me that after Aaron won the Super Bowl, things changed. He decided, I'm at the top of the mountain now. We're going to do things my way, because I have been misevaluated and under-evaluated my entire football life. Going back to high school, when he didn't have one scholarship offer out of high school, he got 1310 on his SATs, and he had to go to a local community college because nobody wanted him. And then, of course, he fell in the draft. He got booed by Packers fans when they drafted him. Brett Favre did not treat him well those first couple of years. The fans did not want Aaron to take over the franchise. And so when he won the Super Bowl and was MVP of the Super Bowl, he decided, going forward, we're doing things my way from now on. So I think that was part of the transformation. But really, the COVID statement 3 years ago, I asked him, I said, Aaron, why didn't you just tell the truth that day? Like, your truth was you were allergic to an ingredient in Pfizer and Moderna and concerned about Johnson & Johnson side effects. Why didn't you just say that? Because I think you would have gotten less than half the criticism you did get by misleading the public. And then when the truth came out, you got destroyed. And he told me, effectively, yeah, I should have. He admitted he made a mistake. He said, I gave critics something they still have on me today, and I regret that. I should have told the truth. So I at least commend him for admitting a mistake, because Aaron doesn't often do that. He doesn't often say I was wrong, but he did in that case.
Ian O'Connor is with us, and the book is called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he didn't want to get injured, you know, four plays in last season. But is he happy that he made the decision to leave Green Bay and go to New York?
Yes, Hawk. I think it was a great opportunity for him. Now, he had to change the dynamic in Green Bay, because it was one bitter postseason defeat after another. And unless there was a dramatic change, it was just going to continue. He needed to break up his career. And here's the New York Jets. They haven't been in the Super Bowl since January of 1969. And it's New York City. So I'm going from the smallest market to the biggest market with a chance. If I win a ring there, it's going to feel like three rings or four rings. Brady's at seven, I'm at one. I'm never closing that gap. But a championship in New York at the end of my career is going to dramatically enhance my historical standing in the sport. So to me, it made all the sense in the world to do it. And I think he's still happy he did it. Obviously, the injury changed a lot of things. I was in the building that night, and I have to say, I've covered sports in New York for almost 40 years. And that is the most heartsick I've ever felt for a fan base and an athlete. And I actually drove his parents home that night. And that was a very difficult, somber drive. He's obviously been estranged from his family for 10 years. But it's still their flesh and blood. And that was a real difficult experience that night.
Is he a great teammate? Because there's good guys, there's good, you know, teammates, there's good leaders, but then there's guys like you said, you told the story about him flying across the country for a teammate's, you know, 3-year-old birthday party. But if you talk to the current guys, like you said, other guys like myself just played against him, like, he's a cool dude. Is he a great teammate? Is he that guy in the Jets locker room that you're like, yes, all the Garrett Wilsons, the young guys, the Breece Halls are like, without him, I wouldn't be as good as a player as I am.
Yeah, I think he is. And I think a lot of Jets fans told me that they watched Hard Knocks last year. And they kind of thought Aaron was a jerk at first coming into the market, just given the coverage the last 3 years. And then they saw him on Hard Knocks, the way he interacted. Now, granted, he knew the cameras were there. But the way he interacted with his teammates, the way he was a leader, the way he talked to defensive players and in practice pulled them aside. Hey, I saw you do this, and this is why I did that. And he's been great in New York so far with his teammates. They swear by him. I mean, it's almost scary the way they talk about him and revere him, and guys saying, like, everything we heard coming in about Aaron really has been disproven. So the old Packers I talked to, and again, two guys, JerMichael Finley and Greg Jennings, have said some negative things over the years, but they've said a lot of positive things too. And I talked to JerMichael about it, and his son is like, Aaron's his favorite player. His son's a top college prospect now. But yeah, I would say 98% of the guys I interviewed, and I interviewed a lot of them over the years who played with Aaron, had really almost nothing but positive things to say about him, including going back to his high school and junior college days, same thing. So I would say that's real. That's very real and not something that's just a sort of something for players to say because it sounds good in the media.
Ian O'Connor, the book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Everyone should read it, especially as we go into football season here, and especially with Aaron Rodgers being in our division. You mentioned LeBron at the beginning of the segment. Who is a fascinating guy that you want to write a book on? Like, who, obviously Aaron Rodgers, there's enough material and there's enough layers to write a book like this. Who else is out there that you have your eye on?
Well, I still may want to double back to LeBron at some point. Tiger Woods, I covered his entire career, or the vast majority of it, and I feel like there's a Tiger book inside of me on his legacy now that his career is effectively over. At some point, I do want to do a non-sports, a major figure in whether it's entertainment or politics, and just haven't settled on it yet. But I would say, like, for sure, Tiger at some point I would like to tackle because, frankly, doing this for decades, I've probably been more amazed by what Tiger could do with a golf ball than just about anything else I've ever seen, including I covered a fair amount of Michael Jordan, particularly the years he was facing the Knicks in the playoffs. And I would even include that, to be honest with you. Tiger was maybe the most I know a lot of people don't think golfers are athletes, but Tiger might be the most amazing athlete I've ever covered.
Wow. So you're saying Tiger was better at his sport than Michael at his sport?
I'd say they were equals. Wow. And I don't know if you guys play golf. It is the hardest sport, I think, in the world to be very good at. I understand.
Rodgers hit a hole in one, or at least he says he has.
Well, Hawk doesn't go outside, Ian, so yeah, there's no golf in him.
No, I mean, there's nobody better than Michael. I would never say that. But I would say Tiger's is equal. I'll say that. I mean, it's just, I understand you need more athleticism and physical talent to play basketball than golf, but what golf requires of you mentally, and to see him dominate that sport the way he did, I'd say this. It's a tie. How about that? And LeBron's right there, too. But you can argue LeBron is the greatest player of all time because he ended up with more points than Michael, more assists than Magic, and more rings than Larry Bird. So that's a pretty good resume to have if you're making a case as the greatest ever.
And then quickly on the way out, is your, like, what you do, you're a best-selling author of multiple books, but what you do is really, like, get into the nuts and bolts of a human's life. Is it hard? Because I know some of my friends, if you went to ask them questions, they're going to probably cuss you out.
Yeah, it is hard to win their trust. But listen, I've watched NFL games on the sideline. It's not as hard as what you did for a living because I have the ultimate respect for the men who play in the NFL. And I don't think fans have any idea the speed and the physicality and violence of the game. For you to do that and then 7 days later do it again, or even if you're playing a Thursday night game, I have no idea how in the world you can do that. I mean, so that's harder than being an author. And I played 7 years of low-level football, and I thought I had an idea of what it was like until I stepped on an NFL field on game day. And I had no idea. So I would turn that question back to you, and I think what you did for a living is a lot harder than what I do now as an author, even though that's very hard.
I mean, Crowder was just getting ran over by Frank Gore. I mean, what? How hard is that? Anybody can get ran over by Frank Gore.
Tore it all, Vicodin, and Hennessy.
I remember when Channing got Rex Ryan's attention. I do remember that.
That was a great battle between two great sound bites. I mean, Channing and Rex Ryan. You want to talk about Tiger being the greatest at what he did and MJ and LeBron. I mean, Channing and Rex Ryan for sound bites leading up to a big game. You can't find many better than those two.
I might not make That's a tackle, right. But I can talk. I can talk, Ian. I can go now.
You did both. You did both very well.
I appreciate you, brother.
Ian O'Connor, we appreciate the time. Everybody check out the book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. It really is fascinating, as I said, to start the entire segment. Thank you, Ian.
Hey, gentlemen, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Ian O'Connor, New York Times bestselling author, really does seem like a fascinating person.